when you start to lose that hope, it really affects every part of your life.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, I'm doing pretty good. The weather is warm. I haven't taken my coat off yet, but it's like 60 some today. I got a little sun on my forehead yesterday, sat outside in the talking to my wife in the sunshine. It was almost 70. It was really nice. But you're riding a little light in the saddle, but not the saddle. You had a tooth extracted this past week. How are you doing? Yeah.
I'm trying to sound chipper.
Oh, yeah.
It still hurts. Mm. Apparently, I have long roots in my teeth, and this was an upper tooth.
So. That's why I hired you for this job.
It didn't come out as easily as they also, you know, they try and pretend like it's no big deal. Oh, it's just pulling a tooth. It's like they act like it's when you're a little kid and they just tie a string to your tooth.
Wiggle.
Slam the door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to a tooth when you're an adult than when you're a little kid.
Right. So
anyway, it took a little while to get it out and the roots were long enough that there's an opening between my mouth and my sinus cavity now where the tooth used to be. So that has to close up and it's kind of difficult to live.
Wow.
And it hurts.
Oh, I know it. I know it. It is hard being a husband and a dad too, when you don't feel great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just is. I know we've talked about it in the past, but you know, I mean, and your family's kind of understanding for like 45 minutes, you know, yeah, like
maybe a couple days.
Dad, are you feeling okay? But after a while, they're like, come on, get moving. You know, we're kind of done with this, that it's beginning to affect us. And then they're not as thrilled by that.
Mm. Well, and I try to be one of those inspiring people who goes through pain and keeps going with a great attitude and is very godly about it.
We're talking about you, Scott, right?
I don't have that as like a, you know, some people seem to just have that as part of their genetic or spiritual makeup. And I don't have that. I'm trying.
I don't need this extra leg. It's fine.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're making it. I have other That's people, good. Everybody around me is going to the hospital. I went to hang out with my friend's house yesterday with his kids. Cause he had to get the colonoscopy and an endoscopy at the same time. So,
wow. Double whammy.
Yeah. His wife took him to the hospital. I went to stay with the kids for a few hours.
Yeah.
And let's see, my dad's back in the hospital. He has multiple things going on. So they're trying to figure out.
It's not very fun.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's one of those weeks. And of course it's going to be Easter this weekend. So that's a little frustrating, but
yeah.
Life goes on.
And then you die.
Yes. So, what's up with you, man?
Well, today's the last day of co-op. So this is my last day of gym this year. So I would like to say that's bittersweet, but it feels more sweet than bitter. You know, I mean, I love doing it. It's a lot of fun doing it. And I hope to do it until I'm an old man. But it is kind of nice when it's the last one, you know?
So I know. I'm glad that things are ending.
And like you said, it is Easter. So I feel like we just had Easter. You know, does it not just feel like we did this?
I feel like everything's ending early. Everybody keeps telling me, oh, classes are over. They're doing finals and whatever. I'm like, it's only April. We had to go to school through June practically, you know? Like,
right.
What is up with this? So anyway,
I don't know. Snowflakes. I don't know. Yeah. It's because of COVID.
And we're not talking about anything serious this week. I can't handle
nothing.
That stuff. Well, you know,
last week it was a pretty heavy week.
Just pain.
Oh, yeah. That's all you can handle. Yeah. Well, I'm doing our, I'm part of our Good Friday service at our church. The senior pastor asked me, he said, secretly, I think he was just trying to make sure I would go. You know, so like, if we ask him to be in it, he has to go. So I don't know.
But are you playing a shepherd?
No. I'm doing a 10-minute devotional. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. But hey, I did get it. This is, and Scott, we'll try not to make it too serious. But I did get a couple emails this week and had a conversation this week. And I just thought, you know, that they kind of apply to everything. I don't know. You may know that already, Scott, that what we do as dads, we think we're the only one. You know, even when you get a tooth pulled out, you think, has anybody ever gone through? I know my daughter, when she had a baby, it was kind of like, has anyone ever gone through this before?
No, and no one ever has. Yeah.
A lot of people have.
That's how it feels.
It does feel that way. And maybe that's because we're so selfish. We can only think about ourselves. I know I am that way. I'm like, I'm totally good when everybody else is in the hospital. But when it's me who's not feeling good, then I'm like, the world is ending as we know it. But as I talked to Dad and I had an email from a dad, I just thought, you know, sometimes it's easy to think that you're the only one facing these things. And really, it's all of us. We're all kind of facing this. So the first email was just a dad. And he said, you know, I'm a longtime listener. I have never written you before. I appreciate the encouragement. But he said, you know, my wife is just about done with being married to me. He says, and I love my wife. But, you know, and you could just hear the despair in his voice that, you know, he said, like, maybe it's been over for a while. I don't know. But she's just kind of tired of it, just tired of nothing. And he was talking about he has a couple kids and they're higher teenagers and, you know, just kind of pulled out. And basically just said, I feel like I'm up on the wall defending, you know, the fortress all by myself. And I told him, you know, I'd get a bunch of dads praying for him. But I know that there are other dads listening right now who feel the same way, who feel like, I just want it to go away. I'm tired of, you know, Todd saying, staying married, we're staying married. You know, I'm tired of staying parenting. It just feels hard. It feels hard when you feel like you're the only one who cares. And I'll tell you, in a marriage, I used to say, you can do it, Dad, even by yourself. I'm not quite sure that it's that simple. I do know that I can fight for my marriage no matter what, you know, no matter what my wife is feeling. But I am not responsible for her or for her actions. But I sometimes wonder if our wives still want us to fight for them, even when they're ugly. Even if they're pushing us away and saying, you know, I'm just tired of being married to you. I wonder if, I know that in their heart of hearts, they want us to fight for them, to rescue them, to do what we said we would do a long time ago. I'm speaking in Florida next month in May, the end of May, Memorial Day weekend. And I'm doing a thing like a Friday family night. And the guy who's doing the music that day is the lead singer of Sanctus Real. And I'm already planning to tell him I hate his song, Lead Me, because, you know, it just basically says, you're a loser. Why haven't you led me? Keep fighting for me. And I remember when my wife and I years ago were going through a hard time and she wanted me to listen to the song. And, you know, it felt like she was kind of saying, hey, you need to pick it up in this department. And it was kind of hard to hear because I don't know if you feel this way, Scott, but sometimes we men, we get tired of being the leaders. You know, we kind of want our wives to, we want to say to our wives, can't you fight for our marriage? Can't you be, you know, do all the hard work and try to woo me over, you know, and I'll just fold my arms and hunker in and you can do all the hard work. Because I get tired of that sometimes. I get tired of the one who has to be the one, kind of the pursuer all the time. Do you feel that way, Scott? Please tell me you do.
I gave up a long time ago, Todd. What are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I do. And yeah, there have been times when I've literally thought along those lines, like, you know, why don't you go make all the money and, you know, stuff, so.
Well, it's even kind of like your tooth, you know, they want us, not just our wives, but our families, even, they want us to be the pursuers, you know, and treat them like pumpkins and special when they're not feeling good. But then it's like, well, what's wrong with you? Can you get over it now that yeah. it's the other way around? And maybe that's just the way it goes. Maybe that's the way it goes for dads. But I was just thinking of, you know, I know some other dads are feeling that way. Some husbands are feeling that way. And, you know, like this guy, he reached out to me. Dad, if you're feeling that way, maybe you've never written me. Please do. You can contact me at familyman@familymanweb.com. You can even text me at 574-253-1663, you know, and we can have a telephone conversation like I did with another dad yesterday. And I won't have any easy answers for you because there are no easy answers.
So but I will write me too, but I won't have anything helpful to say.
Scott won't answer the phone. Yeah. Write Scott instead of writing me, write Scott. He'll have stuff to tell you. But again, there are no simple answers. Anybody who says there are is lying to you. It is a lonely thing up on the wall, defending your family by yourself. And you just do it a day at a time. You can't look into the future because it's too overwhelming to look into the future. You just do today. And when you get to tomorrow, then you'll work on tomorrow. But today, you just focus on today. In fact, that kind of reminds me of, or not reminds me, leads me into the second conversation I had with Dad yesterday. And Scott, I know you felt this way, and I think most dads have. I felt this way. This is a dad, and we're going to put it on our email. And if you've got some, maybe some contact information, or you think, hey, I can help this guy, that would be a great thing. This is a dad who is, he just felt like God was moving him in a different direction. He and his wife have a couple adult children. He's been a lawyer in a family practice, and he left it all. And he moved from the west side of Chicago down to Atlanta, and they've been there for about 4 weeks. And he's discouraged because he just doesn't know what God has in store for him. And he feels a little like he's floundering, around, you know, out there. He wants to do something. He wants to serve others and serve God being down there. But he didn't know what that means. I asked him, I said, so what would you, if you could write your own ticket, what would you write? And he wasn't quite sure because he just didn't want to presume upon God. He wants God to lead in this, but he doesn't feel like God is leading, you know, making it clear. He said, because I've applied to all kinds of things, you know, ministry opportunities. And he goes, I even applied to Home Depot because I was desperate. And they told me that I wasn't qualified to be at Home Depot. Ouch. And you could just tell because, hey, you need someone like that girl on the plumbing aisle who, when you go, hey, do you have one of these fittings? And she looks at you like, what is that? You know, because you need really qualified people. But I could tell in his voice and that he just felt so, so discouraged. Kind of like where you feel like, okay, I'm trusting you, God. But how come you're not making it clear? And again, as I talked to him, I thought, I felt that way before. And I know lots of dads feel that way all the time. So I don't know, Scott, what kind of advice would you give to a dad who maybe feels that way right now? Maybe they're listening and they're thinking, you know, I just don't know what I'm supposed to, I don't know. I want to serve God, or I want to go in this direction. I feel like this direction he's moving us in, but it's still not very clear. Cause I know you felt that way before, Scott.
Yeah. That'd be a long conversation probably. But I'm not sure I'd have anything terribly encouraging to say. I've had that feeling. We went on ministry staff and watched it go down the toilet over the course of several years. And we nearly went bankrupt in the process. The ramifications of that aren't gone completely, you know, it's, we're still living with the decisions I made when I was 22 or whatever. So,
okay, let me ask you, Scott, do you feel like, I mean, I'm hoping you're going to answer this the way I think you might. Were
that's
those
why
decisions
we can edit if I don't?
That's right. Yes. Yeah, speaking of landscaping, I know those were hard. Okay, 22 years old. You know, that was a few years ago. I know those are hard ramifications, but was God in those decisions? I mean, was God in the midst of all that? Do you see him looking back? Do you feel like you've learned something, or that he took you through, or is taking you through? You know, can you see God in the midst of all that?
Yes.
Okay, you're so far, we're so good. Okay, get going.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see him working in my life, and even throughout that period. I think part of the difference now is that I can look back with a category of spiritual warfare and see that Satan was involved in that too. And I didn't have a category for that back then. Mm. And you know, I've known people who got married and then years later say that on their wedding night, they knew something was wrong and felt like they'd made the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see easily now looking at that going, well, don't you think that might've been somebody else in the room besides the Holy Spirit, you and your wife?
Mm.
Maybe there was a demon in there saying, hey, you made the wrong decision and you just mistook that for the Holy Spirit. I mean, there is an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And if we're not awake to that, our families will suffer. So, I don't know how, for me, that's the only thing that made me feel like, oh, this makes sense now. Because otherwise it's just God playing with me.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hard. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and you talk to people who've had it harder than you. And I despise, let me just put this out there. I despise the attitude of like, oh, well, other people have it harder than you, you know, get over it. Cause like that just tries to make your problems seem like they don't matter. And they do, they matter to God. They should matter to you. Like problems are problems no matter what.
Right.
Now, I do take inspiration from other people who've made it through hard things and have been faithful to God. It's just, man, it's hard. I know. There's no easy answer. That's the frustrating part, is I want there to just be an easy answer.
Yeah. Well, I think we kind of, not applaud maybe, but we like easy answers.
Yeah.
We like the guy who steps out and then it turns into this huge thing. Or we like listening to those kind of things. And really, that's what the internet is filled with. And, you know, we get like Decision Magazine and Billy Graham. And it almost always highlights the successes. You know, we gave this and this is what happened. We did this and this is what happened. We stepped out and God did this.
Yeah. Do you see that in the Bible?
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of people, especially you look through the prophets in the Old Testament, there were plenty of them who like were called by God legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it. They heard his voice. They went where he said, and the people there didn't listen to them and wanted to kill them.
Right.
Like,
well, and not just the Old Testament, the New Testament. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Paul's life.
Yeah.
We kind of admire him, but who would want to be him?
You know, shipwrecked three times.
I don't want any of that. You know,
put in prison.
Apparently he needed a life coach, you know, to get him through so he could make some other choices so he could avoid some of those things.
Yeah. The Christian life is not for the faint-hearted.
Right. Right.
And will make you faint-hearted at some point. But we keep going and keep trusting in God and band together with some brothers who can lift us up and keep us up on that wall fighting for our families when we're feeling like we're about to fall off. It's really tough when your wife doesn't even care about you being up there. That one,
and she would like to push you off the wall.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, you just said it, Scott. You know, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll the other night and I rarely hear him anymore because he's hard to find. For one, you know, he used to be on the like radio, Christian radio. You'd hear him 14 times a day. And now you hear him late night and he was just talking about friendships. And he was saying how most men only 1 out of 10 men would say that they have a close friendship. And you kind of said something about that, like, you know, kind of like surround yourself with other guys who can encourage you in those times. And I know you've had some friends. I don't have a lot of friends. I have some that I meet with occasionally. And even we have a friendship here that we just talk once a week. Mm-hmm. How important do you think that is for the guy who's on the wall by himself to have somebody else that he can share all that stuff with?
It's almost impossible to live without it. Mm. And I think that's why Satan goes after it so much and why so few men have close friends, is because he knows how dangerous we can be when we band together and pray for each other and lift each other up and, you know, listen to each other. My old roommate from college, the guy who was kids I was watching yesterday, he, you know, we talked recently and we both just kind of poured our hearts out to each other of all the things that we'd been frustrated with and dealing with. And we've talked since then. This was a couple months ago, and we've talked a couple times since then. And it's been like, wow, that was really, like, we've thanked each other, like, for just listening, because it was, nothing changed, you know, in the reality of our situation, but it was really helpful to be able to just listen to each other and hear each other and pray for each other, you know.
That's a great thing, because even, like, one of the dads who wrote about his marriage, he said, you know, I'm writing to you because I don't know who else to talk to. Mm. You know, and I'm super glad he did. Yeah. And again, Dad, if you don't feel like you have anybody, reach out to me or Scott.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need someone on the ground, someone that you can talk to more than once, you know, in a blue moon. Just someone that you can share the real stuff with, because it is encouraging. I could tell after talking to the dad who felt lost in his career or what he should do, the one down in Atlanta. I could tell that it felt good just having talked to another guy who'd kind of been there, you know, and didn't have anything to offer, didn't have much to change his situation, but it still felt good just saying it out loud.
Well, I will tell you one thing that has hit me over the last few years, especially, hope is an important thing. There's a reason it's called the anchor for the soul.
Mm.
And people say you can't trust your feelings, and I agree with that. The truth is not in your feelings, but the truth is that if you don't take care of your feelings, life loses all meaning.
Mm.
If you feel like you've lost all hope, then it's kind of hard to put one foot in front of the other. So anything I can do to nurture hope in my own life is so helpful nowadays. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, because I can feel that even in myself. Again, you know how I've said I have to pull myself off the news and things, because when I start listening to that, I can feel physically, I can feel weird, you know, where it just feels like, man, I mean, there's every time every headline is bizarre and makes no sense, and it just flies in the face of godliness, and you think, wow, we're in trouble, you know, across the board in everything. And, you know, when you start to lose that hope, it really affects every part of your life.
Have I shared my little revelation I had watching The Shawshank Redemption?
No.
This was,
at least I don't think so,
about a year or so ago, I think. Have you seen that movie?
Is that where Matthew Broderick climbs through the mud in a hole at the sewer pipe?
It's not Matthew Broderick, but yes, it's Tim Robbins.
Really?
To break out of prison.
Okay, wow. I missed that one. Totally. Okay, yeah, I've seen it, but it's been a while.
Okay, well, there's some rough parts in that movie, definitely, because it's R-rated and there's, you know, it's a prison movie. So I'd seen it multiple times and found it very inspiring. And yet I would have described it, if I was going to describe that story to somebody, I would have said, well, it's the story of this guy named Andy who gets wrongfully thrown in prison for murdering his wife, but he didn't do it. And then eventually he breaks out. I stumbled upon it on TV one night and watched like the last half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hit me towards the end that it's not Andy's story. it's Morgan Freeman's character, Red. It's Red's story. Because Red is this, it's the story of this guy who's been in prison for most of his life, who has lost all hope.
And he's just real quiet, right? I mean, he just, yeah, he didn't even know how to go to the bathroom on his own, really, yeah, exactly, without permission. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's lost all hope. And he even says at one point, hope is a dangerous thing. In here, it'll get you killed, kind of thing, you know. And Andy is this sort of flawed but sort of messianic type character that just shows up in the prison and brings hope to these hopeless people. And as Morgan Freeman's character Red is narrating it, and towards the end, he talks about he's going to see his friend, and he hopes that he'll get to see him. And he talks about hope being a good thing. And it's just like, I was just sobbing watching the end of this going, okay, because I had lost hope at that point and was in desperate need of that boost. So it's kind of shifted my perspective a bit. And if in movies don't inspire you, then sorry, you're probably not going to understand me.
So what do you, so like in the midst of that, Scott, what do you hope in again? I mean, like, because like for a guy who maybe is that guy on the wall, you know, and his wife, is his hope is not like, well, maybe today my wife will like me, you know, or like the guy looking for a job, you know, my hope isn't like, well, maybe today I'll get it. I don't know about you, but what gives me hope is knowing that really, and maybe because it's, I'm a dad, you know, that my dad, my father, my heavenly father, only does what's best, you know, or even though I can't see his plan, I believe his plan, you know, and somehow that does give me hope. It gives me comfort knowing that even if I'm going through a hard time, or if I think, you know, I'm going to die or whatever, I know that my days were written before one of them came to be. I know I'm in his hand. And even though I may not understand it, and it gets really, really dark, I know that he loves his child more than I love my children. And that gives me hope. That comforts me, even when I don't understand it. I mean, there have been a lot of times where I'll say, okay, God, I know you got this. I don't understand it, and I don't see how it can be good, but I know you've got this. And that gives me hope.
And if that feels like a load of hooey, just test him.
Yeah.
Because he'll show up.
Well, and I was even telling that dad who, you know, is looking for direction. I have noticed that, you know, faith is kind of like a muscle. You know, when you use it, when you have to use it for a long time, it gets easier. You know, like you said, you test him. And when you have to live by faith for a long time, sometimes you're not thrown as much. When that, whatever that downturn takes a turn, because you've tested it and you've found him to be faithful in that. Well, hey, Scott, we're out of time.
One more little thing.
Go ahead.
I don't know if this is as inspiring to you as it is to me, but the song "The Warrior Is a Child" by Twyla Paris. It's an old one.
I can't remember. I would know it if I heard it.
It's a really old one. And the original one has this silly synthesizer part that makes it sound really cheesy, but
what's it called again?
The Warrior Is a Child.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to that.
And it's all about the fight that we're in, and that, you know, sometimes you just need a break. And then we get wounded in the fight, and sometimes, you know, then we do have to get back in. And this, I mean, that's the thing. This is a battle, this is a war we're in. There are times when it just feels like it, and we get wounded and we need somebody else to, you know, take up the gun and fight for us sometimes. So that's why we're together.
That's why we're here at the Family Man Show, because really I don't do this because I like hearing my voice on, you know, on the internet airwaves. And it's not because I just love talking about dad things. I really do it because I know we need each other. I want to remind you that you're not alone. I want to remind you that what you do matters more than, you know, as a dad, as a husband, more than anything else you're ever going to do. And even as we talk today, I want to remind you that God has you, and that he's going to get you through this, as hard as it is. And it is hard. But like I said, we're out of time. This is kind of, I don't know if your whole tooth situation kind of color this show, Scott. But it was kind of like we needed some, you know, dad news about a dad who was eaten by an alligator, you know, and clawed his way out or something or something like that. But have a great weekend, Dad. And maybe you're like one of these other dads. I'm guessing you are. And maybe you feel discouraged and overwhelmed and hopeless. I'll just close by praying for you and for us. And let's just pray. Father, I just pray for all the dads who are just tired. I pray maybe that even this Easter, you would remind us again that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, you know, we don't have to be stuck in hopelessness. Because you live, you have a plan. Because you live, that there is a time where all this will be gone and the tears will be removed and we will see you and we will have a joy that is unmeasurable. But I just pray for the dads right now in the midst of this, again, that maybe that you would remind them that you are there. If they don't have a friend, would you just put somebody in their life right away that they can, maybe your old acquaintance or a new acquaintance, they might be able to share some of the things they're going through and hear some of the things that others are going through. And we thank you that you haven't taken us out of the hard things, but that that somehow you're with us through the whole thing and that you've got a plan for us. And it is a good plan. We just thank you for this time. We thank you for this medium. I thank you for Scott and his insights. I pray again for his tooth, for the lack of, that you would just bring healing completely. I pray for this husband and his marriage. I pray that you would soften his wife's heart and harden this man's resolve. I pray for the dad who's looking for a job. Lord, I want you to meet all his needs, but if you would be so gracious to maybe show him something hopeful today. And again, we thank you that you can be trusted in all things. We pray all this in your name. And all the dads said, amen. Amen. Well, Dad, have a good Easter. Have a good Friday. And a little heads up, if you've got some daughters, you might think about stopping and get a corsage for Easter Sunday. I know sometimes they say, I don't want a flower, but, you know, they still like it. I know that if you have I don't know if you have Martin's where you are, Scott, or maybe a big grocery store that has a little coffee shop inside, sometimes they have a whole bunch of corsages made up, ready to go, because you don't have to stop at a florist. But I know they'd probably like that, which was a reminder to me that I probably should do that, because I've got a couple of girls in my house. So have a great Easter, and smile a lot, and do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.